Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 54. Yadacharya Paravrito,
Yadacharya Paravrito,
Grihamediya Karmasu,
Grihamediya Karmasu,
Vayasyar Balakais. Tatra Sopa Huta Krita Shanai.
Sopa Huta Krita Shanai.
Yada, when
Acharya,
the teachers Paravrita
became engaged.
Grihamedina,
of household life.
Karmasu, in duties.
Vayasyai, by
his friends of the same age. Balakai, boys. Tatra, there. Saha, he, Prahlad Maharaj. Apahuta, called. Krita Shanai, obtaining an opportune moment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Purport. In tiffin hours. Do we have a tiffin hour here? You have a tiffin hour here? You don't have a tiffin hour? Oh my God. You do have a tiffin hour. Tiffin is this box or this kind of metal container that the students used to put the food in. The parents used to make the lunch and put it in that. That was called a tiffin, your lunch package. But it was usually a metal container. And the metal container was called a tiffin. You don't have to have a tiffin. Take lunch. What's that? Tiffin, yes, in tiffin hour. In tiffin hour, the hours when the teachers were absent from his classroom, the students, because I guess the teachers went out and had lunch, wanted to play with him. As will be seen from the following verses, however, Prahlad Maharaj was not very much interested in playing. Instead, he wanted to utilize every moment for advancing Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's indicated in this verse by the word Krita Shanai at the opportune moment when it was possible to preach about Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj used the time as follows. So the translation is, when the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. This is one of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Shantir avyarta kalatvam virakta manushunyataha asha bandha smudkanta namagani Siddha Ruchi Asaktis Tad Gunakine Vishati Tad. I forget the word first, I always forget that word. Anyhow, Shantir Avyakta Kalatvam, that not to waste time. Tear world means to waste time. Shantir means peacefulness, tolerance. Avyarta kalatvam. So, if we're not peaceful, we're going to waste time. In other words, in the material world, everyone is agitated for sense gratification. Therefore, they're not peaceful. And therefore, they're always trying to figure out what we can do to satisfy our senses. And they're making elaborate plans for it. Modern society means in order to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, you have to make very, very elaborate plans. that story of the Brahmin and the Kopins, which everyone knows, Kopins, the underwear, that the Brahmin, he was by the bank of the Jamuna bathing, and he washed his underwear and put it on the bank to dry. And one mouse came and stole the underwear. Being embarrassed, somehow or another, he begged some other underwear. But he realized that he was always in danger, that his underwear might be stolen again when he bathed. So he got a cat. The cat wanted some milk, and since there was no store nearby, he had to get a cow. But because he couldn't figure out how to milk a cow, he had to get a wife. But because he got the wife, she wanted some children, he had to get a house. And because he got a house, he had to get a job to pay for the house. But in order to go to the job, he had to get a car. But to pay for the car, he had to work at night. So now he had two jobs. He had a house, he had a car, he had a wife, he had two children, he had a cow, and he had a cat, all to protect his underwear. And realizing that since the price was going up of everything, soon he would not be able to maintain his underwear any longer. So he decided the only thing feasible to do would be throw his underwear away and then walk away. So that's material life. It's called making something simple very, very complicated. That's called Maya. So, Shantir means tolerance. Apurimana, achala, pratishtam, samudram, apa, pravishanti, yadvat, tadvat, kama, yam, pravishanti, sarve, sheshanti, matnotina, kama, kami. Person is not disturbed. So our problem is we're disturbed. And why are we disturbed? Because we think that this will make me happy. What will make us happy? Apuryamanam achala pratishtam. Now, just like the water is going into the ocean. Now the ocean, no matter how much water is going into it, never becomes disturbed. But if you put some water into a little lake, or into a little stream, then it'll overflow immediately. So, apurimanam achala pratishtam. Apratishtam, or pratishtam here, means that it's steady. Apurimanam achala pratishtam. Samudra. Samudra means the ocean. So one has to become like an ocean of Krishna consciousness in order to not become agitated. That if one is full in Krishna consciousness, then one will not be disturbed. It's whatever goes on in the material world. And if one is not Krishna conscious, one will become disturbed no matter what happens in the material world. If things are going well, one will become disturbed. And if things are going badly, they'll become disturbed. And if things aren't going, one will become even more disturbed. Tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve. So, in our minds, we've taken birth, we've been given these bodies, this gift of material nature, and we brought within our minds, and in our minds, there are a whole collection of desires. And they, in the appropriate moment, they flow into our mind and present. Now, here is your opportunity to gratify your senses. Do it in this way. We go, no, I don't like that one. Do you have a better one? Well, what about this one? It seems a little bit better, but maybe you have a third choice? You're pretty greedy, aren't you? Okay, well, here's a third one. Well, that's the one I like. All right, well, here's how you do it. You got to work for it. All right, I'm willing. I'm sincere. So then the desires come, and then material nature will direct us. Krishna actually directs us how to fulfill the desires of the material nature. And we make plans. In order to do anything, you have to make a plan in the material world. So we're making so many plans how to gratify our senses, and generally everyone is very impatient to have them gratified immediately. Previously, people used to wait. But people can't wait for more than 10 seconds, or else they'd go crazy. 10 seconds already, I haven't gotten my birthday present. This is ridiculous. What's wrong with these people? Or as I mentioned before, an extreme example was even 20 years ago in Texas, one person was by a stop light and the light turned green. And the man in back of him, he honked his horn to get the man to move because he didn't move immediately, his car to move. So the man in the front, he turned around with his rifle and shot the man who was honking his horn in the head. That's called impatience. But that's people becoming very, very impatient in order to, they can't stand anyone is telling them to do something that they don't want to do, or they can't get their desires fulfilled immediately. And the more Kali Yuga goes on, the less patient people become. For instance, previously, of course, nowadays, because of this pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, things have slowed down a little bit. People aren't used to it. So, they had plans, for instance, Amazon.com. If you ordered something, they'd have a drone delivered to you. Because waiting a whole day would be too much. Just like nowadays, they have this pizza delivered, probably here also. You order a pizza and the man jumps with the pizza order into his motorcycle. And he has 15 minutes to get to your house. And if he doesn't get to your house on time, the pizza is free. So you see these people riding the motorcycle, risking their lives to deliver the pizza. They only have 2 minutes left, and they, you know, take the motorcycle and jump over some obstacle. Turn, make three turns around. And then land and there's the pizza. Half a second late. I'm sorry. It's free. I've been waiting half a second. It's too much. I demand another pizza for free also. So everyone is making plans. Everyone is impatient to fulfill their plans. But shanti means one has to learn tolerance. Avyaktakalatvam, and not waste time. In other words, if one is trying to figure out how to utilize one's time in Krishna consciousness, then one can be patient. Otherwise, it's not possible. Therefore, atyahara priyasascha prajalpa niyamagraha. Generally speaking, people are very much interested in atyahara, eating too much, or sleeping too much, or something too much. And therefore, priyasas. They're just busily working to get what they want. But their consciousness is not in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, prajalpa. They're talking about so many things in order to have their desires fulfilled. And niyamagraha. They don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done, or how to do it, or why they're doing it. All they know is that they need to gratify their senses. Therefore, if one is avyartakalatvam, one should, as Prabhupada writes, one should organize one's life in such a way as that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So this is our plan. Krishna has a very simple plan in Bhagavad Gita. He outlines it. And it's not what most people are planning. He says, Manmana Bhava Madhvakto, Majayaji Mam Namaskuru, Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Prati Jani Priyosime. So that's Krishna's plan. That should be our plan. To see if our minds are on Krishna or not. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindeo, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Vardhane. Maharaj Ambarish, first of all, fixed his mind upon Krishna. Before he did anything, he'd think whether he's doing it for Krishna or not. Because if he's doing it for Krishna, whatever happened would be auspicious. And if he wasn't doing it for Krishna, whatever happened would be a waste of time. So Prahlad, the first thing he did, he thought, what should I do for Krishna? And under the circumstances, Krishna gave him the intelligence, tell these kids about Krishna. So that's what he did. And that's our plan too, to think, before we do anything, what does Krishna want me to do? Now, we'll never come to that platform unless we believe that everything actually belongs to Krishna. Now that sounds like a very simple philosophy. Everything belongs to Krishna, except what belongs to me. Yes, everything belongs to Krishna. Let him do with it whatever he wants. But I got to do with what I have, whatever I want. It's a Dale Krishna, yes. You can have what you have, and I have what I have. What do they say? Something in the Bible, something about it. Unto Caesar, bestow unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So, give to God what belongs to God. It could be everything except what belongs to me. So, simple philosophy, everything belongs to Krishna. And as soon as we forget that, then Maya will say, yes, my dear sir, everything doesn't belong to Krishna. A lot of things belong to Krishna. He has his planet, let him stay in his own planet, wherever he is. He may be in your heart, give him a little room in your heart too. Don't be greedy, there's enough space in there. Besides that, he's even tinier than you are. So, you can give him a little space. Like sometimes the householders put the deity in the house, and the little space is for the deity. The rest of the house is for themselves. Put a little, when they're doing things they're not supposed to do, they put a little curtain in front of the deity so the deity doesn't get disturbed. Start thinking himself to be the proprietor of the whole thing. So one has to accept that everything here belongs to Krishna. And as much as we accept it, then the result is that we'll actually be inquisitive what to do with the energy. Now the problem of not doing that is it says, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhoga Vancha Tare Nikatasad Tare Japati Dare. That as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Maya is there and she slaps us into material consciousness. So for most of us who are conditioned, we don't think it's a bad idea. It's not bad, because I have so many nice things I'm going to do. I have so many plans for happiness and peace and prosperity, fame, adoration, distinction, and I'm making progress. So if I forget Krishna and I'm in Maya, well, I'm in good Maya. I'm in happy Maya. I'm in auspicious Maya. Unlike other people, they're in unfortunate Maya. But my Maya is good. And when I get old and my Maya is bad, then I'll turn to Krishna to help, to make my Maya good again. But if one is actually accepting that everything is Krishna's energy, then one will actually inquire. And if one is a little afraid of Maya, that I don't want to be in the bodily concept of life and take another birth somewhere in some species of life, if one is a little afraid of Maya, then one will at least inquire, what does Krishna want me to do with his energy? Now, as one devotee said, when she blooped and left and was engaged in sinful activity, she thought, because of her conditioning in Krishna consciousness, that as soon as she engaged in sinful activities, a lightning bolt would strike her. So she was surprised that nothing happened. So she said, well, it's not so bad. I thought it would be a lot worse. But actually, we're already struck with lightning. We're in this body. We're stuck in the body. And anyone who thinks that their body is a good, happy playground to play around in probably doesn't know what a good, happy playground is. In any case, if one is a little afraid of Maya and recognizes that actually the reason I might get stung by the illusory energy is because I don't accept that everything belongs to Krishna, and I don't inquire from Krishna what he wants me to do. And of course, it's not that we ask Krishna, oh Krishna, what do you want me to do? And Krishna says, you know, just wait a second, I'll send you a text message. I'll figure it out. No, Krishna's there, he's going beep beep, and we're going, what? Can you speak a little louder? Beep beep, beep beep. I can't hear you. Well, you're deaf, that's why you can't hear. I'm telling you exactly what I want, but you can't hear anything. Your mind is less louder than I am. So outside Krishna comes as Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and of course we have to become sincere. Sincere. What does sincere mean? Well, I am sincere because I was born sincere. I'm a nice person, and therefore I'm sincere. As it says in Nectar of Devotion, there's only one qualification of advancing Krishna consciousness, and that's sincerity. So what does it mean to be sincere? Did anyone take birth as sincere? The only one I know who took birth sincere was Prahlad Maharaj. And maybe Shukadeva Goswami. But he wasn't totally sincere either. Still didn't accept Krishna consciousness. Anyhow, we weren't born sincere, but we have to learn sincerity, and that sincerity, as much as we take shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we have to develop that sincerity. Otherwise, we actually believe Maya is not so bad. I'm not doing so bad. Everything's pretty good. It's just these crazy sannyasis keep on driving into me, trying to make me fearful. As if everyone else is not trying to make me fearful too. But they keep on saying, you know, you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn forever. You're going to become a dog if you're lucky. Because you did some pious activities in Krishna consciousness, you'll become a dog. Otherwise, you'll become an insect. No, one has to be intellectually, one has to understand, and then one has to think deeply. What does Krishna really want me to do? It's not that we automatically know exactly what Krishna wants me to do. We have to become a little humble. So that's where humility comes in. We have to realize we don't know anything. We don't even know who we are, actually. If I ask you who you are, what is your rasa with Krishna? Do you know? What do you look like? It's like you go to a Halloween costume party and people say, who are you? I'm Frankenstein. Well, I'm Dracula. You've got to watch out. I'm thirsty. And someone says, well, wait a second, guys. You're in a costume party. Don't take it so seriously. So similarly, we're in this costume party and we take it too seriously. But if we take Krishna consciousness, trying to find out who we actually are, trying to overcome our intoxication of thinking we're Dracula or Frankenstein, or maybe Marilyn Monroe or Tarzan or whatever else we're dreaming. And we realize we're intoxicated, then we might try to become sober and act according to how we should actually act. And we have inquired humbly through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and when everything becomes clear, kuts. It's time for prasadam. We don't have to think, well, let me study Shastra and see if I should take prasadam or not. Sharira Vijaya. Hey, there's the quote. Most of the time we have a regulated schedule and we know this is the time to eat, this is the time to sleep, etc. But for other things, what should I do with my life? How should I see things? What should I say to this person? Not necessarily the first thing that comes to my mind, but I should think, what does Krishna want me to say? What does Krishna want me to think? Does he really want me to think, I hate that person, I hate that so-called devotee? Is that inspired by Krishna? Yes, I'm inspired by Krishna. Krishna wants me to hate the demons, and that devotee's a demon, I can tell. He's a Kali Chela. He took my glove to him and I hate him. I'm going to get even. one has to think a little bit more deeply than that. Otherwise, one will simply live life in a super, on a superficial surface of Krishna consciousness, not really getting very deep into it. And getting deep into it is not necessarily just becoming playing the instruments better or singing better or whatever else we think is better, but it's actually becoming more thoughtful. More thoughtful. What does Krishna want me to do? And relying upon, learning how to rely upon Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra to do it. So that we can utilize our time properly. Then the result is that we should actually think, when it's clear what we should do, then we have some space in our minds that I should do it to please Krishna. We go through the trouble of accepting how everything belongs to Krishna and accepting that I should find out what Krishna wants me to do. Then the next thing is we have to start meditating upon how to do it in a pleasing way for Krishna. If we know what to do for Krishna, and then the next thing to do is think how to do it with care and attention. How to be attentive to what I'm doing and do it pleasingly in a way that's satisfying, pleasing to Krishna. And what will be our reward? That will become Krishna conscious. We'll think about Krishna. We'll get Krishna's association. We'll become enlightened in transcendental realization. We'll realize who, experience the ecstasy and the love that comes by becoming conscious of Krishna, and at the same time we'll be experiencing enlightenment. We'll see everything and everyone in relation to Krishna and service to Krishna, not just theoretically how everyone, everything is related to Krishna, but Krishna will give us the intelligence how to appropriately serve every living entity so we can be engaged 24 hours a day in service to Krishna with love and devotion. And Krishna will become more and more pleased, our activities will become more and more pleasing to others, and we'll be happy all the time. We'll be sure we're doing the right thing, which was auspicious, ultimately auspicious for myself and for everyone else, and we'll become happy and satisfied and peaceful in any circumstance. We'll know how to maintain and deepen our Krishna consciousness in any circumstance we're under. And that's the success of life. Not necessarily to get a better position or even get liberation, but to be deeply absorbed in pleasing Krishna and trying to please Krishna, that's the perfection of life. And as we see for Prahlad Maharaj, that he understood that Krishna wants everyone to go back to Godhead. As Prahlad got the mercy of Narada Muni by hearing about Krishna, so Prahlad wanted to give that mercy to his associates. Whatever the difficulty might become, he didn't expect Shanda and Amarka to become overwhelmed with happiness. He realized the word was going to get out and he was going to get into trouble. But he didn't care. He realized that everyone's in trouble in the material world. But he didn't feel like he was in trouble. Therefore he said to Lord Nrisingadeva, Naiva dvide paradratya vaitaranyas tvavirya gayana mahanita magnachita soche vimukacheta se indriyaratam maya sukhayam bharam udvitam vimuda. Prahlad Maharaj said, you want to give me something in the material world, I don't need anything, because whenever I chant your holy name, I merge into an ocean of transcendental bliss and love, and therefore I can't expect anything better than that. But I'm lamenting for these rascals because they're spoiling their lives in the so-called material progress. I'm lamenting for them, and therefore I'm devising plans how they can become Krishna conscious. So Prahlad Maharaj, as soon as he got the opportunity, whenever he got the opportunity, I mean, if he could preach to his father Krishna consciousness, certainly he could preach to his schoolmates. At least they wouldn't throw him off their lap and try to kill him. But he understood that his father would not be very happy. But his business was not to please his father. His business was to please Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? So, Prahlad, the saintly son of Arunya Kashipu.
So what's the best way to
enlighten
the time?
What is the best formula for time management?
Rupa Goswami.
Okay.
Now one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely hearing and chanting about the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes. In this way, gradually engage the tongue and the mind. One should live in Goloka Vrindavan and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. And one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti tat pranitibhis chabajantam isham shushu shaya chabajantam ananya anya nindati sunya vridayam ivstita sangha labdhya. That's not right either. I got the wrong verse. Is that Krishneti yasya giritam? No. How does that go? Sat Krishna nama charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasanama nasini oja tishtan brajet anaragi jananu gami kalam ayat akilam itipadesha saram. That's how they utilize time. Nectar of instruction, text number 7. Before that is Sat Krishna nama charitari. Sitapta Vidya, the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendently sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the avidya of ignorance cannot relish anything sweet, but it is wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within one's tongue, and this disease of ignorance is gradually destroyed at the root. That's 7. Yeah, so our problem is we chant Hare Krishna and we go, wow, it's so bitter. I can't do it. One devotee once told me, he said, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and every time I chant Hare Krishna, my mind becomes agitated. So I can't keep on chanting. It agitates my mind, the Hare Krishna mantra. That's really unfortunate. Of course, our minds are agitated, but we don't have a taste for the holy name. Therefore, we don't utilize our full time 24 hours a day trying to plan how we're going to remember Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastimes, because we have no taste for it. So which comes first? Getting a taste of the holy name or organizing one's life in such a way is that we'll remember Krishna throughout the 24 hours. It's probably a combination of both. If we don't try and organize like that, we'll never get a taste. And if we have no taste whatsoever, we'll never try to organize our lives to become Krishna conscious. So we're kind of in between, it's called Bhajana Kriya and then Anartha Nivritti. If they were performing Bhajana Kriya and there's no Anartha Nivritti, then we'll give up the process after some time. Therefore the classes are actually meant to inspire us to do something that we don't want to do, because we have no taste. Therefore, you see, when Prabhupada gave class, he didn't say a whole lot of pastimes and things like that. He gave straight philosophy. Not that he couldn't tell pastimes. And you can see, in the background, there's all these devotees in the back standing around Prabhupada in Los Angeles. And they weren't his bodyguards. They were the devotees who were falling asleep. And they were asked to stand in back of the Vyasasana. Because Prabhupada, he gave philosophy. Why did he give philosophy? Because he knew who his audience was. He knew his audience were on the stage of Bhajana Kriya. And he had to bring them to Anartha Nivritti. If not, then they'd fall back into material existence. So he had to try to inspire them to perform, to do things which they didn't want to do necessarily at the beginning. I remember going to book distribution every day. And unless you're really in the fire competition or something, the marathon you were going out every day, just like, you know, went out unconsciously because, you know, you just were supposed to go out there and the van arrived and you got in and you weren't even thinking, your mind wasn't even thinking anymore. It was too tired from all the hours you spent. And you got out there and you just start distributing books. And if you're not used to it, you go out there and the mind would say, what are you out here for? Look at all these people, they're all demons. They're dangerous. You stop them, who knows what they're going to do to you. Be careful. Look for someone who's old and weak. Someone who's not a danger. Excuse me. Get out of my life, you. Get a life yourself. So we're on the mental platform. We don't want to be there. We don't know why we're there. We don't, you know, we're trying to figure, we're looking at our watch, how many minutes left until I get lunch, or at least lunch. Let me dive into the nectar of lunch. Do we have lunch? Oh, my lunch is there. Okay. Not so bad. And then when you're out there, you distribute books, the book, finally I distributed a book, Krishna's Mercy, and then you go, it wasn't so bad. And then you get a little enthusiastic, and by the time the end of the day, you don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. I'll be in Maya again. So that's what the whole philosophy is meant to convince us to do something, and sometimes we may not be so enthusiastic to do it at the beginning, but to convince us that we're patient, we're eternal, and that we should work with knowledge, conviction, and then our enthusiasm will come. Otherwise, we're very enthusiastic already to do all the wrong things. And unless we become convinced to be patient and figure out what Krishna wants us to do with determination, then we'll never develop spiritual enthusiasm. We'll always be left to fall back, material enthusiasm, whatever my mind thinks. What do I want to do now? Go on the internet, find out how coronavirus is doing today. Yes.
Why do we have to figure out Well, just ask the authorities, right? That's what the authorities are for. They tell
you. Well, if you have no brains, you can do that.
Well, I mean, if you're figuring it out, that means you don't have any brains.
No, it means you have some brains and you can try and utilize them. Although
well,
they may be a little rusty.
Yeah, the utilization means to go to the authority.
Yes, it should be confirmed. But
it's easy.
At the end of Bhagavad Gita, of course, you're giving your own Bhagavad Gita, but at the end of Bhagavad Gita, that's not what Krishna tells Arjuna. Iti te ganam akyatam kuyam guyatam amaya yishim shesa ite chusita ta kuru.
Yeah, but he's already inquired already.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
So yeah, he gave him the instructions. So now all he has to do is carry it out. So Krishna's giving him, he's telling him what to do, and now he says, now you can do whatever you want to do, but I already told you.
That's right. So when we find out what Krishna wants us to do, we should do it.
Yeah, so that's easy.
What's that?
Do it. Just do it.
You have to find out first what Krishna wants you to do.
Well, what's the use of having authority if you don't ask them?
Yes, the authority can tell you, but what happens if they ask you, what do you want to do? What do you think Krishna wants you to do?
Well,
what happens if there's no authority there?
If the authority is meant to be an authority. Not somebody who's just, he's got a position, you know, I'm authority.
Authority, you know, I feel a little tired, what should I do?
All you have to do is ask.
No, the original authority is in our heart. We're supposed to, as Krishna says, Chaitasya Sarva Karmani, Maya Sanyasi Mataraha, Buddhi Yogamu Pashvitya, Machitak Satatambhava. And all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me.
That's afterwards. First, you got to know what you're supposed to do. That's what you've been saying. What's my service?
Yes, through Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra.
Okay.
And the basis is Shastra. So if you want to know what you're supposed to do, you have to study Shastra. And then when someone asks you to do something, then you'll be able to understand what he's telling you if you see through those words through Shastra. If you don't see through Shastra...
I think it's quite easy. You go to the temple authority or your immediate authority and say, what service can I do?
Good, you can do that.
you can quote 100 slokas about, you know, all these things, but, you know, if we don't follow authority, what's the use? I mean, if we go to authority and we ask what to do, and they tell us what to do, and we don't do it, then we're back to where you were talking about. then we have to use so many philosophies to justify the fact that we're not doing what the authority does.
Since you're giving us this philosophy, how many times a day do you go to your authority and ask him what you should be doing?
Well, if you don't know at the beginning of the day what the whole day is, then you should do that.
How do you figure out the whole day?
Well, I mean, you have to have some intelligence.
Who do you communicate with?
You have to have some. You have to have some intelligence to think, right? You have to have some intelligence to think.
Okay, so who's your authority that helps you think?
Well, everyone has an authority.
Who's your authority?
Srila Prabhupada.
Did you talk to him directly?
Right now. When, what's his name? Ananta, he comes up to me and said, Mars, can you do this? I say, yeah.
What happens if he doesn't come up to you? What do you do?
Then I do what I'm supposed to do.
How do you know what you're supposed to do?
That's easy.
Who tells you?
The Shastras. Guru.
Oh, okay.
Well, Guru speaks on behalf of Shastra.
Okay, who's your guru?
Why are you asking that question? You don't know?
When does he speak to you?
When?
Yeah.
He's constantly speaking to me.
You're hearing Prabhupada all the time.
If I don't know his instructions, what is the use of my relationship with him?
But all the time, you know, in all circumstances, you know, Prabhupada's directly speaking to you, and you know exactly what he wants you to do?
Yeah. What's the ultimate principle? Remember Krishna. So as soon as you remember Krishna, you're doing at least the highest service at that point. Because everything leads to that point of remembering Krishna.
And again, how to remember Krishna? Is that all you do all day, is remember Krishna? Do you do anything else?
What do you think?
Well, you're here
what
now.
Do you do? Do you just do something else and forget Krishna?
Usually.
Okay. Well, you could write your own Bhagavad Gita then.
No, we understand the principle. The point is, it's to actually develop the intelligence by which we actually know what Krishna wants us to do. There's a process of doing it. We shouldn't be so sure that at every moment we know exactly what Krishna wants us to do, nor are we always so inspired to even inquire what Krishna wants us to do. Sometimes we do things unconsciously. Or sometimes we know we're not supposed to be doing something, but we do it anyhow. So it's a question of development.
What's the purpose of having a daily schedule if we don't know what to do?
Well, because the schedule might change sometimes.
Well, that's possible.
And besides that, our schedule is probably not so much filled out. It's like I've been...
Well, see, we're hitting on a major point. Devotees don't go to authorities to get services. They do what they want to do. And then if the authority is not there, then it's just like... I just go on to my mind, that's all.
Well, some kind of authority. Guru, Sadhara, Shastra.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because we're not inquisitive enough.
No, because we don't want
to.
Like you said, something for Krishna, something for me. You know, that's the
right.
That's the program.
Yeah, that's our problem. A lot for me and a little for Krishna. But Krishna is very generous. So when I do a little for Krishna, I get a lot from it. it's a reciprocation.
Yeah, one devotee came to Prabhupada. He brought this other devotee with him. And the devotee knew the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart. So he was impressing all the other devotees. He was quite a new person. So they wanted to impress Prabhupada with his knowledge. So they brought him to Prabhupada. And this other devotee was really, enthusiastic. Prabhupada, this devotee, he knows the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart. In other words, all the verses. Prabhupada didn't look at him and said, is there any service he can do?
Yeah, exactly. Vishal, every morning in the morning walk, Vishal would come. Prabhupada would walk by Vishal, Prabhu, and Vishal would be citing verses from the Bhagavad Gita and other verses before when Prabhupada was going on his morning walk. And one day Prabhupada was walking by and Vishal was reciting the verses and Prabhupada looked down and said, see this puddle? Clean it. Do something practical.
I think he was trying to impress Prabhupada also by his verses.
I'm sure. I wouldn't mind impressing Prabhupada either.
Well, Prabhupada's not impressed by you trying to impress him, right?
He probably would.
That's the worst thing you can do is try to show off in front of the spiritual master.
Yes, anyhow, Prabhupada is quite merciful.
Yeah, he gave an easy service.
But Prabhupada wanted us to do things practically also. Mm. All right, anything else? Yes. our questionnaire came.
Maharaj, about planning, should we plan our, legitimate sense gratification, also besides eating, time to eat and time to, should we plan this?
Better than planning your illegitimate sense gratification. That would be very, yeah, of course we plan everything. For us, sense gratification is also in Krishna consciousness. Taking prasadam is also service. Sleeping is also, is all service to Krishna. So we have to plan that too. You don't make plans to succeed. You'll make plans to fail. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.